Okay. This is Parsha Vayera. I'll start off with a story we said over every year. But
I don't remember.
You remember as soon as I start. Okay. Alright. Begin the Parsha Perik Yuches Pasuk Beis. Vayisa Eino Vayar, Avram lifts up his eyes and he sees Vine Shloisha Noshim Nitzav Malot. There are three men standing next to him. And Rashi tells us, why three? Three Malachim. And Rashi tells us, Echol Levase Sarah. One came to inform Sarah she'll have a son, Yitzchak. The Echol Rafaich Esesdaim. And one Malach came to turn over Sedaim. The Echol Rafaich Esavram. And one came to heal Avram. One Malach can't do two jobs, so therefore each job required a special Malach. And Rashi brings down later on that the Malach that hailed Avram, from there he went to save Lot. The same Malach that hailed Avram went to save Lot. Okay, Rafal, Malach of Rafua, he hailed Avram, he was able to go and save Lot. It wasn't the same time. He went to save Lot. And the famous story, when Rav Shlomo Kugel became Rav in the city abroad, so right as soon as he was a new Rav, there was an unfortunate story that happened. There was a baby that was born, baby boy, and the eighth day is the time for the Bris Milah. And the minhag was that the Rav would be called to come to the Bris. Rav Shlomo Kugel was waiting for them to come and call him to the Bris. And nobody's coming to call him, nobody's informing him to the Bris. So we ask somebody, what happened? Am I supposed to go to the Bris? Is there a Bris? How come nobody came to call the Rav? So they said to him, no, the Bris is not taking place yet, because the baby's father is very sick, not well, and the doctors don't give much time to live. And we're waiting to be able to name the baby after the father. Okay? I know. But Ashkenazim, his father, it's not a problem. But Ashkenazim, it's a problem. Can't name don't name the child after the father that's alive. So we're waiting, for the Patira to be able to name the baby after the father. The Chonik said, they told him, that's the minig HaMokim, that's the way we do it here, that's the minig in the Mokim, that's the minig here in the city. Then when such a situation arises, we delay the Bris in order to be able to name the baby after the father.
You don't delay it after the 8th day, right?
It'll be on the 8th day, but delay it on the 8th day. That's what they did. Rav Shlomo Kugel told them, make the Bris right now, right away. They said to him, but the minig HaMokim, the minig is to make the Bris, to wait. He says, I'm the Rav, and I'm Mrs. Matsak. Make the Bris right now. Minig HaMokim, I'm the Rav. Okay. They listened to the Rav, and they made the Bris. They gave the baby a different name, and miracles and miracles, the father started to become better, and a few days after the Bris, the father is getting better and fully recovers. And they can't believe it. New Rav comes to town.
A miracle worker,
Baal Nisim, right away, a Mephis. He saved the father's life. So they started spreading rumors that the new Rav's about Moifis, Kedun Nisim. So he called the Olam together, Shlomo Kugel, and he said to them, I'm not about Moifis, Oy Novi Anoichi, Oy Ben Novi Anoichi, I'm not a Novi, I didn't do anything supernatural. But I learned it from the beginning of Pashas Vayera. What happened at the beginning of Pashas Vayera? Hashem sent three Malachim to Sodom, to Avram. Why three Malachim? One to tell Sarah, one to turn over Sadaim, and one to heal Avram. Because one Malach can't do two jobs. Rashi tells us later on, the same Malach that hailed Avram went to save Lot. They couldn't send a fourth Malach. Rashi is very chesh bringing out, why we need three Malachim? So, they couldn't send a fourth Malach? Is there a shortage of Malachim in Shemaim? They couldn't send down another Malach to save Lot? Why does it have to be the same Malach that hailed Avram continues to save Lot? Ella, the Terence must be that Lot was not deserving to have a Malach come down just to save him. Lot didn't deserve it. But once the Malach of Rafal, who heals, saves, protects, came down, B'schus Avram, he was already down in this world, he already was here, boop, B'schus Avram, he was here, he continued on, and he went to save Lot. But Lloyd wasn't zoiche to have his own mamach. So Rav Shlomo Kugel, that's exactly what happened here. The father of this baby needs a refuah. He's not zoiche to have Eliyahu and Avi come down and heal him. But we know that Eliyahu and Avi comes to every bris. He comes to every bris. So therefore, let's make the bris now. At the bris, Eliyahu and Avi will come. And once Eliyahu and Avi came, the schus of the bris, he's here already. He'll continue on to heal the father. And that's what happened. And that's why the father was healed. That was not a maifus. But once Eliyahu and Avi came, he continued on to heal the father. Okay, that was the story that they say, over. Okay, good. It's a good verse story to say over. The pasuk starts off, Vayera, the first pasuk, Vayera Lov Hashem, Ve'eloi Mamre. That Hashem appears to Avram where? In the plains, in Eloi Mamre. Why Ve'eloi Mamre? So Rashi tells us, why was Mamre Zoicha that Hashem appeared to him in his territory? Because Hu Shenosangoi Eitza Al Hamilo. Mamre gave Avram advice about the Bris Milah. To perform the Bris Milah, he was pro Bris Milah. Since he was pro, encouraging was pro Bris Milah, so Mamre was zeicha that Hashem appeared to him in his chelek. Lafichach, therefore, continues Rashi. Nigla elo bechelkai. Hashem appeared to Mamre, and Hashem appeared to Avram in Mamre's chelek. The Sfasemes says a deep insight. We know the honor Eshkol Mamre. Those three were Avram's friends, they go together. Honor, Eshkol, Mamre. Honor and Eshkol were not Zoiche that Hashem appears to Avram and Dechelek. Only Mamre was Zoiche. Because Mamre encouraged, gave an eighth to Avram and Amigo, while Honor and Eshkol did not encourage Avram and Bris Micho. Says this Fasemis. Honor, Eshkol, Mamre, all three realized that if Avram goes ahead and Avram performs a Bris Micho, he becomes a different person. He'll become separate from them. Because now Avram is an ice on his guf, on his body, that he's different than they are. Up until now, on the outside, there was no ice. Avad Avram was on a higher madrega, but there was no ice nicker recognizable on the outside of the body. But now that Avram would have a bris milah, that would be like a separation between them. Because now Avram would be, so to speak, a yid, with an ice on his gulf that he belongs to Hashem, and they wouldn't have it. So Ono Eshkol didn't want to separate from Avram Avinu. They didn't want Avram to have this ice and be different than they were. So they didn't encourage or try to discourage Avram on the Bris Milah. Mamre realized, you know what? It's true. I'm going to lose Avram Avinu. He's going to become a different person. He'll become closer to Hashem. There'll be a separation between us. He'll have the ice. I won't have it. But if that's what Hashem wants, I can't stop him. If I can't, Mamre went ahead, and knowing that this would cause a separation between them, Mamre still encouraged Avram and advised him about the Bris Milah. So this Tas Emes. And what was the end result? Just the opposite happened. Where did Hashem reveal himself to Avram? In the chilek of Mamre. And faket. Through Avram, Mamre in a way becomes closer to Hashem as well. Because since Avram performed the Bris Milah, and now he was on a higher level, a different person than Mamre, you're right, they were separate in that level. But where did Hashem choose to show himself, to reveal himself to Avram? In the territory of Mamre. Through giving up what he thought his connection to Avram, to Hashem, by advising the Bris Milah, the opposite turned out to be true. Mamre, in a way, becomes closer to Avram, closer to Hashem, because Hashem appears to Mamre in his chilek. And Onan Eshkol, who thought that by stopping the Bris Milah, they'll be close, end up being far away. So MS, a powerful lesson. Many times a person sees somebody else is being married to Kavod Shemayim. Somebody else is being married by Hashem's covenant in the world. And a person says himself, why should I help them out for? Why should I? If he's going to become bigger, it's just going to push us away. We're not going to be close to each other and I lose my connection. Just the opposite. If you see that the Kavod Shemayim is being married through some situation or through some other person, the more you help to increase the Kavod Shemayim, the more you become closer to Hashem. There's a medrash that brings down, medrash Rabba, I think it's in the Midbar, and medrash Rabba brings down, and Parshat Dalet, Eischof, says the medrash, Eliyahu Omar, Ha-hamarbe kevod shmayim, u-mamayit kevod atzmoy. Whoever's marbe kevod shmayim and is mamayit his own kevod, by doing so he decreases his own kevod, the result is just the opposite. Kevod shmayim is rabo, u-chevodai is rabo. Kevod shmayim becomes more, and through that, his kevod increases as well. Don't think that because you're helping somebody else, or by doing some action that's marbe kevod shmayim, is going to take away from your own kevod. But just the opposite. A person who helps to increase the kavod of Hashem in this world, it increases his kavod as well. And the Rai is Mamre knew that it would separate them, and he advised Avram to do the Bris Milah anyway, and just the opposite happened. Hashem chose Mamre as the one where he would appear to Avram Avinu. Because whoever's Marbe Kavod Shemayin, his kavod increases as well. I think it's a powerful, powerful lesson. Pasuk brings down later on by Sodoim, Avram is Mispalo, and Avram, one of the figures, one of the psukim, Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim b'soichayir. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps there are 50 tzadikim in the city of Sodoim. Perikut Ches, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, perhaps there are 50 tzadikim in the city. And Avram promises, Hashem promises Avram Avinu, if you find 50 tzadikim, you won't destroy the five cities. And Avram bargains for 40 people, 40 tzadikim, 30, 20, 10, and unfortunately, tzadikim weren't found. Does Naim Latoyer, Abzalman Svrotskin, beautiful. Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim b'soicho er. Avram said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps there are 50 tzadikim in the city. What are those words, b'soicho er? He could have just said, Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim. It's understood. He's talking about Sodoim. Perhaps there are 50 tzadikim. The 50 tzadikim, will you save the city? What was Avram Avinu stressing? Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim b'soicho er. Perhaps there are 50 tzaddikim in the city. That's what Avram meant. It's obviously meant in the city. What's he stressing? What's Avram Avinu stressing with those words? Perhaps there are 50 tzaddikim in the city. And his Naim Latoyer answers before. He says he was once riding on the train, and next to him call him Yoshvei Krona, some Leida Geyers, Yidin sat, and he tell right away weren't too religious and carefree people. And he heard the following conversation take place between these carefree people on the train. One said to the chevra that was with him, you know, we had such a good time. We went to the bar, we gambled, we played cards. And you know what? Even on Yom Kippur we went. On Yom Kippur we went, and you know, we partied, we ate, and we played cards on Yom Kippur. So the other person says, really? And was the whole chevra there? Well, were they all there, the whole chevra? He says, yeah, the whole chevra, we all went, and we all partied on Yom Kippur. He says to him, really? And what about Chaim Yankel? Was he there also? Was Chaim Yankel there also? He says, no, Chaim Yankel, no, he's a tzaddik, he fasts on Yom Kippur. Chaim Yankel, he's a tzaddik, he fasts on Yom Kippur. That was what Rizalman Sorotskin heard on the train. So he said to himself, look who they're calling a tzaddik. For fasting on Yom Kippur, they're calling him a tzaddik. He says, later on, I had to go to a certain yeshiva, and I had to ask the mashkiach in the yeshiva about a certain bacha. And the mashkiach gave me an answer, this bacha, he's not the greatest yirei shemayim in the yeshiva. He's not the greatest yirei shemayim in the yeshiva. Nice way of saying that there's a lot better, he'll do better than this. He's not the greatest yirei shemayim in the yeshiva. So Zalman Sorotskin, when he heard that, he said to himself, ah, look, the bachel who's not the greatest Yirei Shemayim in the yeshiva is still greater than the tzaddik of Yenech Habura, of that chevra. To be a tzaddik in that chevra, all it took was to fast on Yom Kippur. But when you're in yeshiva, fasting Yom Kippur, that's understood. To be on a higher level requires a lot more avodas Hashem than just fasting on Yom Kippur. It's all relative who you call a tzaddik. It depends who you're comparing him to. Comparing a member of this chevra, it's a tzaddik to fast on Yom Kippur. That's the pshat. Avram Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ula yesh chamishim tzaddikim b'soichayir. Maybe the 50 tzaddikim in the city. Hashem, 50 tzaddikim? I'm not going to find 50 elcha tzaddikim. But perhaps in comparison to everybody else in the city of Sodoim, perhaps in Yenech Chevra, in the group of Sodoim, perhaps you could find 10 people, 50 people that stand there as a tzaddikim in comparison to the rest. I'm not asking you to find tzaddikim, Yirei Shemayim. Tzaddikim you're not going to find. But maybe you could find B'Soicha Eir. in comparison to the rest of the city, maybe he could find 50 tzaddikim. And even that, he couldn't find. And Thomas Rotsky, the Azari, he says, and how would you call, who would you call a tzaddik in Sadaim? How would you define somebody as a tzaddik in Sadaim? He says, Nistama, we know what the Gemara tells us, that what they do in Sadaim, when a guest came, they offered him a bed to lie down, to sleep. If the bed was too long, they would chop off his feet. If the bed was too short, they would stretch him out to fit on the bed. But he said he always had the cash. What happens if the bed was just right? Let's say the guest lies down on the bed, and it was a perfect fit. What do they do? What do they do? He says, oh. He says, in summer, there were two schools of thought in Sadaim. There were those that said, if the bed fits exactly, it's a riot, it's the wrong bed for him. So we have to take him and transfer him to another bed. It doesn't fit according to our standards. And then the tzaddikim in Sadaim would say that if you put him on a better bed, it fits. No, leave him already. He has a bed that fits, leave him. So if Rome was a spiral, maybe there are 50 such tzaddikim in comparison to Sadaim. And that would be enough to save the city. And even that Hashem couldn't find. But he says, what? It says a powerful lesson that even such tzaddikim would have been able to save the city. Because Hashem was looking, Avram was looking not only at the Sadaim, but looking at to find some good, even among the rishis, the wickedness of Sadaim, find 50 tzaddikim or 10 tzaddikim on their madrega. But for all of us, it's powerful. You can define a tzaddik many different ways. It all depends in comparison to what. A person has to strive not just to be a tzaddik for the lower end, but to be a tzaddik on the higher end as well. Be a tzaddik on a higher level. No matter what situation a person is in, you could always be a tzaddik. But you have to realize that a person has to strive to be on a higher madrega. But Avram was looking even for such tzaddikim to be able to save the city. Pasuk says, they come to the Akedah at the end of the parasha. Pasuk tells us in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Vayashkeim Avraham Babaiker. Avraham woke up in the morning. Vayavaka Atza'ila. He tied the donkey, sat on the donkey, and he chopped wood for the carbon oil. Hashem tells Avraham in Pasuk Beis, Kachno Aspinchas Yechidcha, take Yitzchok. Pasuk Gimel already, Avraham wakes up in the morning, Vayashkeim Avraham Babaiker. He saddles his donkey. He chops the wood for the oilah. And then he gets up and he goes to the place that Hashem said. It's a little bit strange. And I never thought about it, but I saw it tonight. Avram already chops the wood for the oilah before he leaves. Hashem tells Avram to go for the Akedah, and Avram right away saddles a donkey, takes an herb, chops the wood, by Yaakov, and then by Yelech, and then he goes. Why did Avram chop the wood right away in the beginning? So take a big log, I'll chop it when he comes there. He has to make all the hachanas before him, before he travels. It's a little harder to carry a lot of little pieces he chops off than carrying one or two big logs. Avram went ahead, and for 3 days, he has to carry the wood already chopped up. The wood already cut up. What was the necessity of the Yavaka at the Eilah to chop the wood of the Eilah before he left? I never even realized it, but you look at the Pesukim, by Yavaka it says Beferi, she chopped the wood before he left. With three Pesach Frank, that's how it says a beautiful word. The Medrash brings down, Medrash in Shmais Rabba and Parsha Chaval of Oisches, the Medrash Rabba says, Beschus Avram Avinu, Baka Lehem Asayom. In the schus of Avram Avinu, Hashem split the Yam Suf for Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. Shenemar, it says by Avram Avinu, Vayavaka Atzi Oila. Avram chopped, split the wood, the logs for the Oila. And it says by Kriyas Yam Suf, Vayibaku Hamayim, the water split. Same Roshan, Vayavaka Atzi Oila, Vayibaku Hamayim, but schus Avram will split the wood, the water of the Yam Suf split. And Rebbe Bechai writes, "Bischus Avram Avinu, the Yam Suf split." What's the connection? And not only what's the connection, but what was the great schus of chopping the wood? If you would say Bischus Akedah that Avram took Yitzchok and was ready to sacrifice him on Mizbeach for Hashem, and that schus the Yam Suf split. Okay, I can hear that was a tremendous nisayon. But Bischus Avram chopped the wood for the oila, the Yam Suf split. What's the connection between Avram chopping the wood and the Yam Suf splitting? Tzvi Pesach Franks with a beautiful, beautiful insight. And he says the following. He says, why did Avram chop the wood in the beginning? Avram couldn't wait to chop the wood till it came to the Mizbeach. Let him take logs of wood, much easier, put it on, instead of having to chop, put it on, chop, put it on. I think it mentions he made 12 logs, connected to 12 shvatim, with 12 pieces, but he chopped the wood beforehand. Why did he have to go ahead and chop the wood beforehand? Could have waited. And he says, because what happened by the Akedah? That Avram and Yitzchak are walking up by themselves. And Yitzchak starts questioning, where's the seh? Where's the sheep? And finally Avram tells him,
You are.
He finally reveals it to Yitzchak. If Avram would not have chopped the wood beforehand, he would have made Yitzchak wait longer to go up on the Mizbeach. Imagine Yitzchak finds out that he's about to be brought as the Oilah, and Avram has to sit there and make a chonis, and sit there, chop the wood, light the fire. You're right, Avram was on a very high Madrega, so he says, look, we can't imagine what Madrega they were on. But to make Yitzchak wait even longer before his Mesiris Nefesh, even though he was on a high Madrega, there'll be some kind of tsar of waiting, stress, you want to call it, for Yitzchak. Avram took that in consideration. So Avram did all the hachonis, as much preparation as he could have done beforehand, he did. So that when he came to Har Maria, to bring Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, ready to go, here it is, there's no stress, there's no waiting, there's no, we'll call it the Inu Hadin, there's no waiting for the event to happen, ready to go. Avram had rachmonis on Yitzchak and trying to minimize his anticipation, his stress, as much as possible. The Medrash that brings down by Kriyas Yamsuf, that originally Hashem had a machshava not to split the Yamsuf completely before Bnei Yisrael entered, but rather as they entered, each part would split. In other words, they walked into the water, so where they were standing, the Yamsuf would split, but in front of them would still be water. As they picked up the foot and put down and tried to put it down, that part of the Yamsuf would split. And they would be walking through the Yamsuf with water in front of them, and only as they walked, each step of the way, would the water split. If that would be the case, you can imagine the stress they would have, the worries they would have. Mitzrayim's running after them, they're walking into the Yam Suf, and all they see is water. Each time they put their foot down, the water splits. What happens when I take the next step? What happens when I walk a little bit more? I put my next foot down. Will the water split again? They would have a lot of tsar. Hashem Mida Keneged Mida. Hashem saw what Avram did for Yitzchak by the Akedah. That Avram wanted to minimize any tzar that Yitzchak would have. So he made all the hachonics, he made all the preparations as much as he could, he did beforehand. B'schus that Avram chopped the wood of the oila earlier. So Yitzchak wouldn't have to wait. Yitzchak would be ready to go. B'schus that, the same thing Hashem did by Kriyas Yamsuf. By Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem split the water entirely at the very beginning. So the Yidden wouldn't have to wait as they walk through and worry, will the water continue to split? Will the water not? So Hashem split it before them, so this way they were able to walk through without any stress, without any tzar. Midah k'neged midah. Hashem chopped the wood of the oila to minimize Yitzchak's tzar. Midah k'neged midah. V'yevakum amayim, Hashem split the Yamsuf to minimize the tzar of Bnei Yisrael. It's a tremendous machshava. But what do we see from here? When you have to either do a favor for somebody, or you have to have sometimes an unpleasant situation, minimize the person's tzar as much as possible. Think beforehand, with a cheshbon, how can I minimize his tzar? How can I make it easier? You know, the parasha speaks about Achnosas Archim. If you have to ask the theme of the parasha, at least the beginning, Achnosas Archim. Avraham Avinu is Achnosas Archim. And there are a lot of machshavas said about Achnosas Archim. Just a few ideas we've spoken in the past, but it's very worthwhile to mention. But Tzadok HaKayin says a tremendous, tremendous idea. And that is, what does the Torah stress and go into detail by Achnosas Archim? Beginning of Vayera, Avraham the Malachim. Pasuk by pasuk, minute by minute, what happened?
What
they came, he washed their feet, he put in the butter and the milk and the ben bakar, minute by minute, play by play, exactly what happened. What does the Torah tell us that Avraham was a Bichman Machnas Eirich? It says a pasuk, Vayita Eshel Be'er Shava. Avram planted the Eshel in Be'er Shava. Vayikra Shom Hashem Hashem Kelayom. Eshel, we know, stands for Achila Shasiyu Leviya. Avram gave his guests to eat, to drink, and he escorted them when he left.
Lina.
Okay. Well, I think this is Leviya, though. Achila Shasiyu Leviya. Avram escorted them when they left is Eshel. And if Tzadok HaKayin is bothered, how could it be The Torah describes the mitzvah chnosas archim by Avraham Avinu by the Malachim, play by play. Malachim, they didn't even need the chnosas archim. They needed Avraham's chnosas archim. They had to make believe they were eating. Rashi brings down that if the minhag hamakom and you act differently, you have to conduct the minhag hamakom. And the Rashi is the Malachim had to make believe they were eating. That's where the Torah goes into the whole details of chnosas archim. And that Avraham fed people and gave them to drink and either let them sleep over, escorted them out. Eshel, the Torah suddenly can't write anything more than one word. Vayita Eshel Vereshava, and we have to dash in what it means. And the whole parashat Achnosas Archim is all by the Malachim, which wasn't even necessary. Avraham Klein says yes, to teach us that we have to do our part. It doesn't matter what happens at the end. We have to do our part. Avraham thought they were people. Avraham did his part. At the end, it turned out they were malachim, and it really wasn't necessary to halachnos asarchim. The malachim even had to make believe they were eating. But Avraham did his part anyway, to teach us that when a person has a chance to do a mitzvah, achnos asarchim, whatever mitzvah it might be, that cheshbonis. I have a chance to do a mitzvah, I do it. I, at the end, it might not be necessary, that's not my cheshbon. My cheshbon is to do the mitzvah. And therefore, the Torah writes the whole play-by-play, the whole details of Achnosas Archim, Dafka by Avraham and the Malachim, to teach us the end result doesn't matter. That's not up to us. Our job is to do what we see in front of us. And what we see in front of us are three guests, is a mitzvah of Achnosas Archim. Two of my favorite stories that comes to Achnosas Archim, very famous, we said them over. Vaditshiva, the Bible of Vaditshiva, when he first was married, he married the daughter of a Gevir. His Shver was very wealthy. And the first time he's sitting in a shver's house, there were some guests by the table, and Brev Yitzchak himself runs to the kitchen and starts bringing them the food and the drink, and he starts serving them. And the shver says to him, in this house, there are plenty of servants. There's no need for you to go and run to the kitchen. Maybe where you came from, you didn't have any servants. You have to do it yourself. But Baruch Hashem, in this house, we have plenty of servants that will help out, and there's no need for you to run back and forth and serve the guests. And Brev Yitzchak said to his shver, he says, what? I should share the mitzvah of Achnosas Archim with the guy? I should let the guy do the mitzvah? I have a mitzvah of Achnosas Archim. How can I share the mitzvah with the guy? One story. Reb Chaim Briscoe is well known that his house was open to all. And people would come and go with stories and stories told over about how his house was open. I think his son said that he hardly ever slept in his bed because every night someone else, another guest was sleeping in his bed. But his house was open. There was one guest staying in the house. He came into the house. He didn't know who Reb Chaim Briscoe was. He didn't even know who the Baal Boss was. He sees Reb Chaim Briscoe thinking he's another guest. He says to him, I hear that in this house there's tremendous Achnosas Archim. I need to stay here for a while. Tell me, how long did he let you stay in this house without paying? How long did he let you stay without paying? Reb Chaim Briscoe looks at him and says, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know. But I'm living here for many years, and they never asked me for any money yet. Okay. Just end off with the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi is famous kasha. It's really a famous kasha. And that is, the Akedah is known as, I'm going to stop and start a minute. The Akedah is known as Avraham's 10th Nisayon. The last of the Nisayon, it's actually Mechalikus really. It's one of the Nisayonis of Avraham, where it's the last one. Or the Misa of Sar is the last one, Machlokes, but of the Akedah is one of the 10 Nisyonim. It's one of the tests of Avraham. Wasn't it a test for Yitzchak as well? They're going up, Ha Maria, and suddenly Avraham tells Yitzchak, Yitzchak, on the Mizbeach, time to be a carbon. Yitzchak could have said, well, isn't it a test for Yitzchak as well? Why is the Akedah referred to as Avraham's Nisyonim? We call it the Akedah. Why not Yitzchak's Nisayon? It's a Nisayon for Yitzchak as well. We never find Akedah being called a test of Yitzchak. It's always called Avraham's Nisayon. Wasn't it a test for Yitzchak as well? Well, it's for Kasha, that's it. Well, different truths from a given. Beis HaLevi gives one of the classical answers. And he says, you're right. Of course it was a test for Yitzchak as well. But Avraham's test was so much greater than Yitzchak. A person to be Meisim Nefesh is a one-time test. How many stories we hear about people that were Meisim Nefesh? Whatever the situation was, they were faced with a Nisayon of mysterious Nefesh, and they overcame the Nisayon, and they gave up their life to serve Hashem. Yitzchak's Nisayon was to die, was to give his life al Kiddush Hashem. Avram's Nisayon was to go on living al Kiddush Hashem. What happened? Avram Avinu for 100 years is waiting for a child. He's waiting for a son for 100 years. Finally, Hashem grants him his bakasha, and after he's 100 years old, Sarah's 90 years old, Yitzchak is born. And Hashem promises Avram, Kivi Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazara. Your children will be through Yitzchak, Yitzchak will continue your generations, Klal Yisrael will be from Yitzchak. And now Hashem tells Avram, go and be Maisa Nefesh, go and bring Yitzchak. This is the child Avram's waiting for. What happens to everything that Avram stood for? Suddenly, all his hopes, the future generations, the future of Klal Yisrael, destroy, go and slaughter Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. What happened to all the Haftachas? What happened to what Hashem told him in the past? If Hashem would have wanted Avram to bring Yitzchak, and he would have carried it out, Avram would have had to continue to live his life, even though he had all these questions, even though he had all these puzzles that he couldn't explain, and he would have to go continue living his life, HaKiddush Hashem, serving Hashem. That's a tremendous Nisayon. That's even greater than Yitzchak's Nisayon. For Avram to be able to bring Yitzchak and still serve Hashem and still be the same size that he was, that's even a greater Nisayon. Avram's Nisayon was to live Al Kiddush Hashem after the Akedah. To live Al Kiddush Hashem after the Akedah was greater than to die Al Kiddush Hashem. And therefore Avram Avinu's Nisayon was so much greater than Yitzchak's, so the Akedah is called the Akedah of Avram. And it's tremendous. To live Al Kiddush Hashem. It's a lesson for all of us. Sometimes we go through life and we have questions without the answers. And we're puzzled why things happen. And we start to fall apart. Where's the Kiddush Hashem? Who says giving up one's life Al Kiddush Hashem is greater than living Al Kiddush Hashem? When a person is faced with a challenge and he still serves Hashem, that's also in a sense giving up his life, being most nefesh for Kiddush Hashem. To live Al Kiddush Hashem is greater than the other way around. And that was the son of Avram, that's our Nisyonis also. And we learn from the Akedah. The Akedah, that Nisayon, stands as our schus throughout all the generations to live HaKadosh Hashem. Shtaka will be Zaycha. We should be able to live HaKadosh Hashem. Zaycha to see Mashiach's opinion.